In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So now we begin the readings for Holy Week with the first one of the Othros of Holy and Great Monday. And this is just a summary of the themes in this reading. Just a quick summary, because each particular section, I think there's four basically, can be talked about quite a bit. The fig tree is a symbol of works, of steadfastness, of our effort. This fig tree that was not fruitful, the Lord cursed it. Now, it's an interesting thing that this was winter, and so that actually the fig tree would not normally have figs at this time. So I think part of the teaching here is that we are called to account sometimes when we do not expect. Every moment we have to live as a Christian. There is no fruitful time. The whole time is a fruitful time. And so we should bear fruit all the time. But I think the most striking thing about this incident is after the fig tree withered, which was the next day actually, the disciples were wondering, how did this happen? And Jesus took this as a teaching moment. If you look in the Gospels, he does this often. Where something that is a question that is asked, he doesn't answer that question exactly. He answers actually the more important question that they should have asked, or he branches into something as indicative of something that they really need to know. And so here he does this. He answers and says, "Verily I say to you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do that which was done to the fig tree, but even ye should say to this mountain, be thou taken away and be cast into the sea, and it shall come to pass." So he's using this opportunity for a small thing, like a fig tree withering, to say that you can cast away a mountain. Now that mountain, allegorically, is our sins, is our passions. You can cast away the mountain of your sins into the sea if you have faith and doubt not. So this is the most important part of the teaching of the fig tree. Certainly we should bear fruit, we know that. But here's how to bear fruit. Look at everything spiritually. Read chapter 3 of St. John when he talks with Nicodemus. Jesus does. He says things are spiritually discerned. You have to look at things always spiritually. Nothing happens by happenstance. Everything is God speaking to you. What you do at work tomorrow, when you're driving in traffic, when you hear something on the radio, not that I recommend it this week, but whatever happens to you, God is speaking to you. Look at things spiritually and you will see God speaking to you in all things. I'm not speaking about any kind of mystical way where you think all these messages come to you. God is showing his providence to you in everything that you do and everything that you experience. And spiritual people see that. And that is the example that Christ is giving about this fig tree. That they wondered, how could it happen? Well, more than that can happen. We can actually cast our sins into the sea. And I think that's a wonderful lesson to know. And then the Pharisees came to him and they were trying to trip him up. They were trying to make him say something that he could be condemned for. So they wanted to ask him about the baptism of John. By what authority does thou do these? Excuse me. They wanted to ask him by what authority he does these things. So he asked them about the baptism of John, which completely gets them flummoxed up, because if they say that it was his authority was good, then the people would say, why didn't you believe him? But if they say that he didn't, his authority was no good, then the people would be angry with him. So basically, they were, they say, we don't know. And what this proves, I think, is that dishonesty is never the right way to go. It's too complicated. You have to keep track of too much. Remember that the scripture says to the froward, or to the dishonest, God is perverse. If we are dishonest, we cannot expect the Spirit of God to abide in our heart. Period. So you must live honestly The whole world lives with lies. Everybody lies, but we can't. We have to be honest. And I think this is an indication here. When people live dishonestly, they get tripped up with their own words. And God will not be in a dishonest heart. And right after this incident, the Lord gives this example of the two children that are told by their father to go to the vineyard. And the first says, I'm not going to go, but then he goes. And the second says, I will go, but he doesn't. I've used this example many, many times because I think it applies to us very exactly. Many times we don't want to do something, but we repent and we do it. Many times we are angry about someone, but we're still kind to them. We're like that first son. We don't want to show love, but we force ourselves to do it. In fact, my major advice when people have some problem with someone, in confession I say, you have to find a way to show kindness to them. Whether or not you mean it or not, you have to force yourself to mean it. It's not hypocritical to show kindness when there's not kindness in your heart, unless, of course, you're doing it for an ulterior motive. So we have to be like that first son. And there's really great news here, because all of us struggle against our sins. Well, we don't struggle. But when we struggle, we still feel like we've been somehow besmirched, that we've been defeated. And to some extent, that is true. But what did God say about the first son? He did the will of his father. He started out bad, but he finished good. So I think that's what we need to do. We need to master ourselves. We start to do something bad, then finish good. If you don't fast for breakfast, make sure you fast for lunch and dinner. Apply this in every aspect of your life. And it is a powerful, powerful way to live our lives. That you're never defeated then. You do something stupid, you do something sinful, you do something self-centered. Well, you can change right away. And God will accept your repentance and treat you like the first son. We don't ever want to be the second son. We don't ever want to say we will do something and then not do it. It's better to sin and then to repent than to lie about doing something righteous and not do it. Then the last example, the last story, is about the parable of the man who has a house and a vineyard, and he puts a hedge around it and a wine vat and everything, and he sends his servants, his slaves, to get the fruits after a while when the vine dressers have taken care of the vineyard. And of course, the vine dressers won't give the fruits, and eventually they kill his slaves. And this, of course, is an indication of many things. One is the bringing in of the Gentiles, because at the end of the parable, he says that the fruits will be given to a nation producing the fruits of it. But the other is that we must produce fruit. And there's an interesting thing about the cornerstone that I always think of. Because he says at the end of the parable, the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This came to be from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Well, the cornerstone is a big, heavy stone upon which the building is built. And if you know something about how Jews stoned people to death, we think that it's where they, you know, took them and they threw lots of little stones at them. Actually, that just generally wasn't the way it was done. Usually there was a tower or a hill, and the person was at the bottom of that place, and they took a big stone and they threw it on top of him. And if it didn't kill him, then they would throw other stones on him. And so the Lord gives this illusion that the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, it will either break us to powder from falling on us, or we will fall on it and we will be broken. But if we fall on it, we're broken because we give up our will to God. It's not a bad thing for that to happen. It's not an injury to death. It is instead an injury to our passions and kills our passions. So right in the midst of this parable, if you look at it spiritually, he's giving us the way to salvation. Don't let the cornerstone fall on you. No, that'll kill you. Instead, fall upon it. So everything that you do in your life, you're responsible. When God gives you grace, you're responsible to act upon that grace. And that's the main teaching of this vineyard parable. So these are really the four main themes, just gone over very, very quickly, of this great Monday gospel. May God help us to bear fruit. May God help us to be the first son. Amen.